Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I think we got our due outs. You're going to meet with all the commissioners that are interested. We're going to go through some of the things that each have different skill sets with Wes and Allison. You got till the 25th. Let's see where we end up.
Everything looks good at this point. We are into now Act 3 of our three-act play because the meeting that took place with the Escambia County Commission related to the OLF 8 development. Beulah Town Center, the Fred Hemmer Group, had been working on it, on track. They were all good. That was Mike Kohler after the Committee of the Whole meeting. Thank God we have Committee of the Whole meetings again. I appreciate Mike Kohler bringing those back as the County Commission Chairman. And despite some drama in the getting there, it was let's work with Beulah Town Center and let's figure something out. Let's get a deal done if it can be done. That was the morning meeting. Everything looks grand. I take you now to the evening meeting. Things will change. The beginning was kind of interesting.
You've made some news today.
That was Mike Kohler talking to Ryan Bell. Remember, he was the kind of the on the outside looking in of the three offers. Because remember, Chad Henderson and the Tri-W group with Ashton Hayward, they had walked out of the previous meeting out of frustration with the county commission. A very understandable frustration. Ryan Bell had never really been in the running. He'd been like the third of three. And it was like one too close, and then third was the... But we had him on the radio. He seems like a very passionate and devoted and interested guy, sincere guy. And so Mike Kohler was referring to the fact that he had offered suddenly $50 million. I'll do 50.
Hello, commissioners. Yes, so was here this morning and listened to all the conversation. So my team has come up to match the $50 million, and we have not changed any other aspects of the contract. So we would love to start in 8 months moving dirt to get the infrastructure in place. And the reason I'm doing that is because in the 2 years now that I've been softly negotiating this with a lot of different parties, I have shops, I have restaurants, I have a gym, I have a medical device company, and these have all been soft conversations because we're not under contract, and because the dynamic has changed a lot when it comes to the financial modeling for are we going to have the whole field, are we going to have half the field?
Yeah, so he's wanting back in the conversation at this point, but remember, we're like on a path already working with Beulah Town Center. Okay, and they have, you know, they've made an offer, and now it's a question of do we redline that and give that back to them and keep negotiating with them? Stephen Berry, Commissioner District 5.
I'm good with supplying that redline comment back to redline comments back to Beulah Town Center, but if y'all would be open to it, I'd also be okay with having somebody in the county's attorney's office kind of go through and put a, you know, give some comments on the offer that came in from Mr. Bell's group. As well as since we're in a public meeting, if you know, if we were to receive something from Tri-W or Jim Wilson Associates, however they're coding their, if we were to receive something from them, I'd also ask the county attorney's office to give some feedback about those as well.
So to think about this a little more clearly for the layman, I think it's like this. We've had a lot of people ask us out. Escambia County's had a lot of people ask us out on a date. And several of them have we've just said no to, and several of them we've gone out on a date and it didn't turn out, and then a few of them we've kind of gotten to the not quite but almost going steady phase, and Beulah Town Center was to the going steady ish kind of phase, and if anybody even uses that phrase anymore, but that's kind of where we are, and what Stephen Berry is saying is I know we're kind of going steady with Beulah Town Center, but I mean I don't mind going out on a date with somebody else. I mean, if Ryan Bell's organization wants to go on it, I'll look at their offer, you know, show me your dating profile. I'll check you out. And if somebody else who has already broken up with us wants to come back in the conversation, Tribe of W wants to slide into my DMs. I mean, I'm willing to entertain other possibilities. Mike Kohler.
To work with them at least for the 30 days. If we change the date to February 20th, and then brought those things in. I just don't like to go back on my word. I know it's a few days with the snowstorm, but I do think we should at least give you what we had committed to, the 30 days.
So Mike Kohler says, I don't know, we're kind of promised to go steady with Beulah Town Center till, you know, the 30 days are up, and now you're talking about looking at other profiles. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. Steve Stroberger.
Maybe March 25th isn't it's too far out. Maybe we should change that.
No, I don't think that's too far out. I don't think that's a bad idea to do that, to consider the other offers again, I guess. But I think it's going to hinder the progress that we're trying to make now with Beulah Town Center. So I would be opposed to that, but I'll defer to you guys.
I mean, the next step is going to be a red line copy back to them. That may be the end of it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if Beulah Town Center is trying to Netflix and chill with us, meanwhile, we're swiping on the phone while we're watching a movie with her, you know, she might ask a question, and that might make that relationship a little bit awkward. I'm trying to come up with the best. How am I doing, David? Am I translating effectively here? Put his news pod on for a second, David.
I'm dying.
All right, back.
Just slide into the county's DMs. Come on, there's another offer. Slide into the DMs.
Come on, you want to come over to Netflix and chill? Sure, what you're going to watch? That's not the point. Okay, so anyway, back to the conversation here. So Steve Strogerberger, who keeps trying to fight for, you know, the girl they're trying to go study with, Beulah Town Center, hey, let's work with them. I mean, it's okay, I guess, if you want to consider other things, but we're really trying to go down this road and see if this is going to work out. Mike Kohler.
Do you think you guys could get work by the 20th, and then if something didn't go there, then we go back to negotiations with the other two? I just don't like going against the 30 days. That's the only thing where I'm stuck at.
Our 30 days is up the 9th, right?
Right.
Which is 3 days hence in this situation.
So, yeah, that's
a deal's a deal in my world. I mean, but, you know.
So the reason why we
So, Mike, I would agree with you. I mean, and I think I agree with you and Commissioner Beer. I mean, you know, you honor your word on 30 days, but you open up the negotiations to give everybody a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, so I could live with what Commissioner Beer just said.
So
I told you, you had until 30 days to put a ring on his finger, and until I see a ring, we can still date other people.
So Commissioner Ray, are you saying honor the 30 days, and if that falls through, provide the directive to negotiate with any other contracts that might come in between now and the next board meeting?
I'm sorry.
All I'm saying is to ask him to provide some comments on what came in from Mr. Bell's group, as well as if we were to get an offer from JWA or Tri-W or anyone else. I mean,
so again, I don't think they're wrong. I think that keeping other possibilities open and even looking at other offers is not so bad, but let's really work on the Beulah Town Center one, because that's the one we agreed to work on. And as Mike Kohler said, for a specific amount of time. And there's kind of been a conversation in the background here about extending that period of time because we had, you know, the snowstorm and we had things we had to deal with. And let's give them a little bit more time so that we can really hammer it out. If we're really serious about making this one relationship work, let's not just quit on it too early because we start to get greedy about other offers. Let's really work on it. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
All right. Thanks, Andrew. There's a vehicle crash at Amal Creek Road and Mobile Highway. There's no roadblock in that area, though, so things should be flowing pretty smoothly. Scrolling over to Gulf Breeze Parkway, there's a significant congestion from Avalon Boulevard back to College Parkway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, back to the county commission, Escambia County Commission, wrangling over what we had thought was a done deal. They're going to keep on keeping on with Beulah Town Center at the time. And then all of a sudden, they got a $50 million offer from Ryan Bell. You know, Tri-W has, you know, stormed out of the restaurant, but they might walk back into the relationship. Maybe, you know, if they have a second thought at it. So Will Dunaway, okay, Will Dunaway is the attorney again for Beulah Town Center.
Saying is that after the motion this morning, we were in conversation with the county attorney. We know that we are anticipating, she's indicated we're going to get a red line version back. We know that she's not physically here for the next 2 weeks. We've already scheduled out times.
That's another issue is Allison Rogers, county attorney, has been in and out based on vacation. They had been talking with her already in the interim between the morning meeting when they thought we were on track and trying to schedule out a time to work on red line response, getting together on the details.
We've looked at times for the week that she returns. I'm available all week, the week after that, and the following. So the next step is to hear back from staff on the red line version, and then we respond. That was what the negotiation process is.
And although he's not quite saying it, and he would maybe not say it, but he sort of seems to be hinting at, it's not us that's holding this up. You gave us 30 days, and all of a sudden we've got snowstorm and attorney's gone and all this, you know. And so it's y'all that are holding it, which had always been the worry, is that somehow Escambia County was not going to deal honestly with Beulah Town Center because this is this long simmering dislike of Fred Hemmer among the former majority, now minority board members, Lumen Mann, Stephen Berry. But just there's a lot of backdrop. There's always a lot of drama in the surrounding stuff, okay? So questions of whether they would extend it to March 20th, extend it to March 6th, just hold them to the, you know, February 9th or maybe to February 20th. And Mike Kohler, who's, again, wanting to follow through on the prior promise.
I would just ask the board to give them to February 20th. And then at that point, if we can't, I think that's fair.
The reason why we, this morning, we said March 25th is because Commissioner May is not going to be here on the 6th. And our attorney was going to be gone on the 20th. So I don't know why we're going backwards again. This is the definition of gridlock. We have something here that we can be voting on. Let's vote on this.
We didn't have a $50 million.
We don't have anything we can vote on.
No, but this is what we agreed on. This is what we were going to vote on. If we're not going to vote on it, I don't know what we're doing.
You can tell. And Mike realizes what's happening. They're about to go back on what they had said in the morning. They're about to basically abandon this deal, or at least abandon their commitment to wait on other deals until after at least the 9th, or not making a concession for time to allow Beulah Town Center to work with Allison Rogers on all this. And you can tell he's getting frustrated because he hears it. Anybody who was watching this meeting heard it. And, you know, it seems a little bit like feet dragging by the county, maybe, maybe not. And it's kind of frustrating. So they're hemming and hawing, and they're wrangling, and he's trying to get Beulah Town Center. And meanwhile, we're all watching this thinking, can these people ever get married? You know, is there going to be a payoff to all of this? And then, nope.
I don't know how the date got changed to the 20th.
I make a motion that we proceed with the initial 30 days that we gave them. After that 30 days, we proceed to negotiate with any other offers that come in, and we get briefed on those at the next Board of County Commissioner meeting.
That would be 3 days on the 9th.
Second.
Stephen Berry seconds.
Any discussion?
Oh, no.
Please vote.
Oh, no.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-1.
And Steve Stroberger was the one who voted against. So instead of giving extra time, instead of allowing for things like the snowstorm and Allison Rogers being out and, you know, kind of bargaining in a little bit of extended time frame, good faith with BTC, the commission 4-1 said, you know what, if you're serious, get it done. But it's not them we're waiting on. It's us we're waiting on to give back the edited version, the red line version back to them. So what happened after they decided that? Beulah Town Center issued a letter. We're out. As a result, this is on February the 7th. As a result of the Thursday evening's unexpected reversal of your Thursday morning's unanimous support to individually participate in providing your comments, concerns, and edits to our most recent $45 million offer, we respectfully submit the following statement. : After dedicating the past 8 years to working toward an agreement for the purchase of OLF-8, we are disappointed that a resolution could not be reached. While we had hoped for a different outcome, we respect the county's position in the process. You have to say that, I guess. Though this chapter is closing, we remain committed to pursuing meaningful opportunities that reflect our experience, expertise, and long-term vision. It's you. It's not us. We sincerely wish the county and the people of Beulah the best as they move forward. Our commitment to Escambia County remains strong, and we look forward to continuing to contribute to its growth and success for years to come. Chairman Kohler, we respectfully request that you distribute this as appropriate as soon as practical. Sincerely, Beulah Town Center. Chad Horn, managing member. So that's two stormouts now, and I don't blame either one. I mean, they finally had enough. You're not serious. You can't figure out what you want to do. You clearly do not want to follow Beyonce's advice. You just want to remain single forever or lock down some guy that's never going to really propose to you at all. So here we are. We're done. It's out. Nothing's going to happen. So now I am left after this. Oh, and by the way, in the interim, you know, we have since had Tri-W has now come back. That's the more recent offer that just took place within the last week. So they're back at it again. Begging for dates, which maybe that works out. And I really have nothing against any of these groups. I think they're all, I'm kind of with Steve Stroberger, I think they're all possibles. I want the best outcome. I don't know what that looks like at this point, but they finally made, you know, they finally dilly-dallied along too much. They were swiping too much during the Netflix and chill, and Beulah Town Center said, fine, we're out. We're done. We're not going to do this anymore. So the question of what mascot? I like Olaf 8, the polka-dotted flying submarine. It doesn't look good. It doesn't know what it's supposed to be. And it's not particularly good at anything. Traffic on the Fives with PJ.
Traffic continues to be heavy from Gulf Breeze Parkway, from Avalon all the way to College Parkway. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
All right, so if you are thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go or who to buy from or what to look at even, you know, which girl you want to date or marry, Frontier Motor, keeping the theme going, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used vehicles, about 300 on the lot, cars that are a year or two, maybe 3 or 4 years young, but still, you know, maybe no new car smell, but they still drive like a new car. And they always pick good quality cars to sell to you, so they're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. That's how you can have confidence in the car that you buy from them. Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. The license plate frames and the bumper stickers all around town recommend them. They're just good people selling good quality cars who will always take care of you, because they're not just trying to get that one transaction and then be gone. They're trying to get the next 5 cars you buy and take care of you and your family and your friends and your neighbors for basically the rest of forever, because they've been here for more than 25 years, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming Meet and Mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate: managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise, Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Never do not will the lie of people bear. Let me see what I don't get, the lie of people bear. Let me see what I
Good morning, 827 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you are 64, turning 65, or you are retiring, or you just have questions about Medicare, give Ricky Stewart a call. You know, I'm not quite old enough to avail myself of this particular advice, but I will when I'm turning 65, because, you know, you do health insurance your whole life one way, and then you got to do it a different way. And she can help you get enrolled. She can help answer your questions. What prescriptions are going to be covered? What's Medicare Advantage or supplement? What's Medicaid? Does Medicaid apply to me? Those words sound very similar, Medicare and Medicaid. They do. And if you don't know the difference, I mean, it's a little bit befuddling. So don't be freaked out. Just give her a call. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's great people. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does. Ricky Stewart Insurance, 341-2185. Some texts that we got in here. Somebody says, has anyone told PJ that his radio voice sounds like Kevin Nealon? Oh, take it.
I will take it.
Take it to the bank. We need a strong board chair or a county mayor, someone who can focus on our long-range goals. That would be, I think, John Peacock's advice for having an elected county administrator. Somebody says, dude, I had to pull over so hard I was laughing so much, I assume, about the Netflix and chill and the dating things. Somebody says, this is the worst Bachelor show ever. is it? I mean, that's a low bar, right? I mean, is it really? Oh, that's funny. Like the night vision of, you know, some outside of the sunshine meeting between one of the commissioners and one of the developers. And what are they doing down by the creek underneath the sheets they brought down there for the night picnic? Just saying. You can go crazy with all this. If I was a contractor or a builder and had my hands in this, I would walk away and never do business with the county again. Why is there not a second county attorney that can be sitting in and read over a contract just like Allison could? Yeah, Kristen Huell. I mean, she theoretically could. Or Steve West, so not quite sure about that. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we've got an update on Pope Francis. His condition remains about the same as it did yesterday. The Vatican says he rested well overnight and is continuing treatment today. He's been hospitalized in Rome now for over a week with bronchitis and pneumonia. Elon Musk says federal employees are getting another chance to reply to that email asking them what they accomplished last week. New email sent by the U.S. Office of Personnel Management ahead of the initial deadline, which was last night, said agencies need to review responses and evaluate non-responses. And Apple, with a big investment into the U.S., they say they'll be investing over $500 billion into the country over the next 4 years.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody says, if this OLF-8, again, the Pensacola flying polka dot submarine, had been handled by a third party, it would have been solved a long time ago. And they were talking about that, too, as a maybe that's the direction they want to go. Somebody says, we should put chicken coops out there, and then the county can definitely turn a profit.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Elon Musk says federal employees who missed a midnight deadline to list their work accomplishments in an email have one more chance.
The head of the Department of Government Efficiency posting on X, failure to respond a second time will result in termination. A number of agency heads told their employees not to respond, including the Justice Department, FBI, Pentagon, and Department of Energy, while the Department of Transportation and Education told theirs to respond.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in D.C. Pope Francis, hospitalized for 11 days now with double pneumonia, is well enough for a work meeting.
The news out of the Vatican continues to be a little more good than bad. You know, the Pope slept well last night. In fact, well enough to meet with some Vatican officials to allow or approve some decrees for saints and some other church business. But the doctors are saying his prognosis is still guarded.
Fox's Lauren Green in Rome. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 62 degrees this morning in Pensacola. A Lillian woman has been sentenced to 13 years in prison for a fatal hit-and-run crash back in 2022. Rachel Johnson received a 13-year prison sentence in court last week. The crash happened October of 2022 on Sorrento Road near Blue Angel Parkway. FHP says Johnson hit two bicyclists from behind. A 44-year-old man died at the scene of that crash. A 40-year-old man was hospitalized. Prosecutors say Johnson fled the scene but was later found at her home in Lillian. District 1 State Representative Michelle Salzman filed legislation last week to lower the age to buy a long gun in Florida from 21 back down to 18. That would be a change Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says he agrees with.
Here's the thing. In our country right now, you can get a gun. If you want a gun and you're 15 years old, there are some dirtbags out there that will sell you a gun or give you a gun in some cases. So they're going to get a gun one way or the other. But if you go to a dealer and get it, the one thing you have to do is you have to fill out paperwork. You have to answer all the questions, and they know you have the gun now.
Johnson said many 18-year-olds serve in the military and they should have every right an adult is entitled to. Florida passed the legislation raising the age to buy a gun following the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school shooting in 2018. Now, if this legislation were to pass, it would still not change the federal minimum age of 21 to buy a handgun. Well, if the governor gets his way, the DeSantis family might not be leaving Tallahassee when his term is up. Governor Ron DeSantis said yesterday he thinks his wife, Casey, would make a great governor. He praised her intestinal fortitude and dedication to conservative principles. The governor also said he thinks Casey would be better than him at being governor, and he says anything he's accomplished, she could take to the next level. Well, Florida sheriffs will be working closely with the White House on illegal immigration. Sheriffs from around the state were in Polk County yesterday announcing a new partnership with ICE and all 67 Florida county jails. It's a renewal of a partnership that existed during the first President Trump term. Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galteri said that things changed, though, when President Biden took office. The partnership with the Trump administration is designed to deport illegal immigrants faster. Galteri said it just makes sense. Well, a well-known TikTok influencer is now facing gun and drug charges in Florida. 23-year-old Frankie Venegas was arrested yesterday. The car he was in was pulled over for a traffic violation. Authorities say a pistol and oxycodone pills were found on the floorboard where he was sitting. Venegas is one of the twin brothers that formed the rap group The Island Boys that went viral a couple of years ago. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our traffic on the fives. It's PJ.
This traffic update brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage for a limited time. Go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off. There's a vehicle crash East 9 Mile Road and North Davis Highway. Looks like the roadway is clear in that area. Other trouble spot is Gulf Breeze Parkway from Avalon back to College Parkway. Traffic is running heavy. This is PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 72. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 55. On Thursday, small chance of a stray shower, 30% overall. Otherwise, just partly cloudy skies with a high near 72 and a low near 47. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 62 in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Taking a look at our opening markets this morning. The Dow is up 196 points at 43,657. S&P 500 up 5 points at 59,88. And the NASDAQ is down 66.5 points this morning at 19,220. 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.321% today. Gold prices down $6.20 at $29.57 even. Silver prices down 12 cents at $32.48. Crypto down across the board. Bitcoin down $54.94.04 at $88.788.82. Ethereum's down. Solana's down. Dogecoin down 2 more cents today at 21 cents. XRP down 20 cents. It is 8:36 at News Radio 92.3. President Trump says tariffs against Mexico and Canada will move forward. This comes as a month-long delay of their implementation expires next week. Speaking with French President Macron at the White House yesterday, Trump said they are on time with their tariff implementations. The two countries could see 25% tariffs on all exports starting in March. Fabric and craft store chain Joann Fabrics is closing all of its locations. The company made that announcement yesterday. A liquidator has agreed to buy all of Joann's assets, and going out of business sales are going to be held at all stores. Now, the cost of eggs is affecting the price of restaurant breakfasts across the country.
Major chains like Denny's now joining the food fight, confirming that some of their restaurants will temporarily add a surcharge to every meal that includes eggs, calling the move a fluid situation. Joining other breakfast staples like Waffle House.
Denny's says the amount of the surcharge could vary across its 1,500 locations in the U.S. The move comes as shoppers continue contending with egg shortages at supermarkets and club stores because of the bird flu. It's 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7000. 1-800-273-8020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, this is a very simple one today, PJ. Meg's not here yet. We'll see if she gets here in time to be able to participate. I'm not sure. The question of the day is very simple. You order a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever pizza it is fine. I don't care. It's not relevant to this question.
Just ordered one yesterday.
Good. Okay. So the pizza is out on the counter. You take your pieces. Wife takes her pieces. Kids, if you have them, take their pieces. And there's... I don't know. Let's say three or four pieces left. Okay? There's three or four pieces unclaimed. What happens to those pieces? Tell me in as much detail as you need to.
First of all, they probably won't last.
Okay.
But
well, let's imagine they survive not only the initial wave, but subsequent waves as well. They're there on the counter. So questions I have are, how long does it stay on the counter?
Mm-hmm.
Does it stay on the counter overnight? Does it go in the fridge? If it goes in the fridge, does it go in a bag or a container of any kind? These are the kinds of things I want to know. What happens to the leftover pizza?
We'll put it in a bag in the fridge. But then my kids have this little thing called second supper.
Uh-huh, sure, yeah.
10 o'clock at night. I'm hungry. Mom and Dad are in bed.
They'll have
pizza's
added.
Gone by morning.
Okay. So how long does it stay on the counter before it goes in the fridge bag?
I mean, maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, go fast acting.
Yeah.
Not hours.
Mm.
Okay. All right, we have a difference of opinion on this. In my house, the pizza will stay out on the counter for 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours. It basically, if dinner is at 4, which we have weird schedule because of my schedule, but if dinner's at 4 and I'm at bed at midnight, don't ask questions, but that's how it works. It's probably been on the counter till midnight until I put it away before I go to bed. And like you, if any survives, first and second wave. I recall a time in college where the practice was the pizza just stays out till it gets eaten. Sometimes that would be the next day. Then you've got 15-hour pizza. never saw the inside of a refrigerator. Also never saw the inside of a microwave. It just went from delivery driver to your, let's say, you know, your coffee table, if you had one. And it stayed there, and it stayed there, and it stayed there. And then, you know, before class at 8:30 the next morning, it got eaten for breakfast. 437-1620. Bag, no bag, how long on the counter, and microwave or not when it gets eaten, or oven, if you're fancy, the next day. And for you or for them, do they microwave or do they just eat it cold out of the fridge?
Cold.
Cold, so really cold. Mm-hmm. Not room temperature, but really cold.
Really cold.
Okay, all right. These are my questions. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm just going to say it. I know it's going to make some people unhappy because you want to believe I'm on your side on all things, and I'm not. I do not eat cold pizza. I am morally offended at the idea of
it. Did you used to?
I've had it before.
Mm-hmm.
The flavors work differently in your mouth when they're warm. The oils work differently on your tongue when they're warm. Pizza is meant to be served warm. If it comes to your house cold, you don't go like, oh, sweet. Right? You're like, I want a discount.
Pay extra for that.
Oh, God, stop it. So, no, I always warm pizza up. And though the microwave is an imperfect reheating device for almost anything, but most certainly for pizza, it's usually the microwave. It's usually the microwave and not the oven. Because, you know, the problem is, and both have this, they kind of, they make it become a little bit more, what's the word I want, cardboard-like. They do. And that's not great. But you make a trade-off for flavor and gooiness of cheese versus texture and hurting your dentures, or in my case, your teeth. 437-1620, 437-1620. What happens to the pizza that does not get eaten, that is on the counter? How long is on the counter? Does it get bagged before it goes in the fridge, if it goes in the fridge? And then do you reheat, or are you a cold pizza eater? 437-1620. See, somebody here says, I put them on paper plates with clear plastic wrap to be eaten standing at the kitchen sink the next morning. Okay, all right. Plastic wrap. Okay, all right. See somebody here. I will say that the paper plate plastic wrap combination is a uniquely failure-centric engineering solution, because plastic wrap does not want to stick to styrofoam or paper, either one. They just styrofoam will actually do okay, but against a paper plate, you're always fighting it. Like, it's never adhering very well. So, but okay, I mean, you know, you do you. What works for you? Somebody says bag in the fridge within an hour. Okay. Wrap them in saran wrap and put them in the fridge. Okay, so wrap each individual piece in saran wrap, or maybe as a bundle, I'm not sure. To reheat, heat in an oiled cast iron pan. Oh, super fancy. Over medium heat with a lid until hot. In college, it stayed where it was until the next day, and then eaten, and I'm still alive. See, I know all my, like, you know, Florida Department of Health people who are listening to this are like, Andrew, you're killing people with the bacteria. Come on. Come on. Look, I know you got a job to do, and I know that the health inspector's got rules, but come on. We have all survived, let's just say, food preparation experiences that would definitely get an F grade if the health inspector were to grade your house, right? And we're still here, okay? Mm-hmm. Andrew, don't you know how serious? Yes, I do. But also, I'm Gen X. I'm okay. You know, we all survived it. We survived spankings. We survived, you know, playing bottle rocket wars, and we survived next day pizza. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Service. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Vehicle crash at East 9 Mile Road and North Davis Highway. Still cleaning up that area. No road blockage in that area, though. And then scrolling over to Gulf Breeze Parkway. Still that little bit of heavy congestion from Avalon Boulevard over to College Parkway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the text, 437-1620. What happens to the leftover pizza? How long does it stay on the counter? Does it go in the fridge? In a bag, not in a bag? In what form does it come out? Rewarmed or not? Do you eat it cold? These are the questions. I know it's a lot of questions. It's all right. You know, it's all one topic. It's fine. Somebody here says it goes in the bag with the topping sides together right after eating dinner. Topping sides together? So you're eating it like a sandwich thereafter. Now, if it's already cold, then topping sides together isn't such a problem. But I guess then that avoids the awkward situation where it's the cheese and pepperoni of the one slice on the crust of the next slice up. Kind of weird, but I don't, you know, topping sides together. I have to think about that one a little bit. I can see for your thin crust that you're going to fold it and eat it New York style. Okay. Let's see. Pizza stays on the counter for about an hour, then it goes into the oven, not the fridge. The fridge is for the next morning. If there's any left, it's in a bag in the fridge. Oh, in the oven. Interesting. And the oven is off. The oven is simply the best storage facility for a pizza box. Oh, you're trusting that the oven won't get that hot. But it's not going to get to 451, I suppose. I'm stuffing my face, and as soon as possible, as soon as I finish my first two, I'm going in again. I go in there until there's no leftovers. So this is a finisher. I like that. Pizza leftovers are for amateurs. Nice. What exceptions do you make for dessert pizza? Oh, all right. No, that's different. I'll allow it. Treat that differently. Let's see. There's no grease left on leftover pizza. It's all in the bottom of the box. That's why it went in a bag. Air fryer after being in the fridge all night in the container, in the box? You put it in the box in the fridge? Who's got that kind of space?
We've done that, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's extra. I mean, that's like defiantly, you know, well flaunting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets really dry, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's very brittle. Do you like soak it in water for a half hour first before rehydrating? You know, like, no, you just probably, that doesn't matter. Tupperware container, somebody says. Oh, okay. Cold pizza is the best leftover meal. Also, trying heating on the stove, add 1 tablespoon of water and cover the pan. and let it steam heat. It's yummy. Okay, so that would definitely soften it up. I like that. No more than 30 minutes on the counter. Leftovers are vacuum sealed. Vacuum sealed. People with your technology.
Who's got time for that?
Yeah, and frozen. Frozen. Wow. Let it go. Reheat at 350 for 15 to 20 minutes. That's how I do it. I mean, you sound very much like a professional. Too much work for me. We also survived jarts. No, agreed. Agreed. Yeah, we survived jarts and, you know.
I miss jarts.
Summer camp and all kinds of things. Boy Scout campouts. Anyway, in the air fryer, out of the freezer. Somebody says yes to all of the above. I've done every single one of those. Anything is fine. Tupperware container, somebody else says. There you go. That's your just your frivolous topic for the day. And remember, the point of the frivolous topic, I mean, it's kind of funny that there would be, but we started this during COVID because I was really exhausted with covering COVID. And we had to do something different. And so we did this as a break. And it turned out to be like the most favorite thing that we do by anybody. And so, you know, every day we do it since. And I think of this not just as it's a fun thing to do on a morning show. It really, my point, okay, as a dad, as a worker, as a whatever, is these are questions that are meant to give you something easy to talk about at dinner with the kids or because, I mean, let's be honest. You will sooner get the pearl out of a live oyster than you will get information out of a kid. Right? So have a good question, and these are the questions you can ask them. And if you want to blame it on me, says Andrew said I'm supposed to ask. That's fine. I don't care. Whatever. Or coworkers or, you know, whatever. Just something kind of fun to be able to. That's the secondary purpose. But the initial purpose was, let's just have fun on our way to work. 850 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make the most money in both directions, high for selling and low for buying, right? Get a good realtor. Get somebody who really knows, okay, this is the price this house will probably sell for, so let's set it at this price. Let's stage it this way. Let's do these open houses. Let's photograph it with our professional folks and get it on the internet, and let's make it look fantastic because all those things matter, and then let's get you a good deal. And as we're working our way through to closing, which always takes time and almost always has hiccups and, you know, burps along the way, you want somebody who can avoid them if possible, you know, see them coming in advance and avoid them, or solve them when they come up. And you do that why? Through experience. That's how you get good at this. Well, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sell in the neighborhood of 200 homes a year. When it was easy times and everybody was selling everything fast, it was like plus 200. That was like 250, I think, for 1 year. More recently, in the last couple of years, it's been 175 and 165, so a little bit lower. But in a harder market where people are more reluctant and skittish, that's still fantastic. I mean, 3.5 a week, 3.5 a week, 3.5 a week. That's a lot. So that's a lot of experience. That's a lot of market knowledge. That's a lot of getting you through all the way to closing. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
A message from the Studer Community Institute. Building Brains is the largest construction program in Escambia County. It's a program in which each new mother receives education on how to build her baby's brain. And it's working. In 6 years, Escambia County has improved from having 43% of children ready for kindergarten to 50%. We have a ways to go, and you can help. Join me March 6th at Light Up Learning at Blue Wahoo Stadium. To learn more, please write to me at quint@quintstuder.com.
At Pinair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinair Credit Union. Because at Pinair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
Come on, Lewis, let's go.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
Oh, I think this might be my favorite story so far of the week. It doesn't have anything to do with us here in Florida. And I'm actually a little embarrassed because I'm from Illinois. And, I mean, I've been from a lot of places, but Illinois is still, like, home to me. You know, St. Louis, Chicago, went to University of Illinois. did you know that Illinois is in the process of trying to separate into two states? No kidding. And by the way, there are many states who kind of flirt with this stuff. You know, California periodically comes out with this. Let's make four states or six states out of Oregon. You know, the free state of Jackson, sometimes Southern Oregon, Northern California, they try to do a thing. We've had this occasionally in Florida where people will, you know, we really are four states. Let's maybe treat it there. No, but in Illinois, okay, largely due to the utter abject incompetence of Governor J.B. Pritzker. Oh, my God. Don't get me started. Driving business off, raising taxes, making the state collapse. Anyway, they have had votes in counties. Over the last couple of years, they have had counties voting to secede. It's not secede because it's not from the union. It's to separate and like to do a West Virginia, you know, to basically take territory out and become a completely separate state. Now, here's where this gets interesting. You know, you got a bunch of counties in Illinois who have had these votes, and the number is now 33 have already, like, voted to do this. Oh, the number of counties in Illinois, I should have known. I can't tell you offhand. It's not a majority yet. But they want to split off everything except Cook County, Chicago, okay? Is the county within which Chicago exists. And the reason is because in Illinois politics, you basically, Springfield, which is the capital, is totally controlled by Cook County, where you have the vast majority of the population. It's a super liberal city county. And then it's surrounded by very conservative, like DuPage is the rich, you know, conservative county. But then the downstate is all rural farmland. Most people aren't liberals. They're not Democrats. And so the question is, are they getting representation? And they say they're not. They say, this is ridiculous. You know, Chicago shouldn't speak for us. Chicago doesn't represent us. And so we should split off. So the plan here is not just to cut down like half of Illinois. It's to cut like everything but Cook County away. And several of the counties in southeastern Illinois have voted for this. Madison County, which is just over the river from St. Louis, has also voted for this. It gets more interesting. I'll tell you how in just a second. JB Pritzker on my brain. Sorry, PJ has got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic on the fives presented by Generator Source. Powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems. Expert installation, 24/7 support, generatorsource.com. Traffic is still running heavy from Avalon to College Parkway on Gulf Breeze Parkway, so just be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to the state of play in Illinois, where Illinois is trying to form basically a Cook County, old Illinois, and then everybody else new Illinois, or maybe southern Illinois, new Illinois, or something like that. And a bunch of counties have voted for this. In fact, like I said, the number's up to about 30. Here's the interesting new developments on this. Indiana, you know, to the east, okay? Indiana has now actually, they are forming and have formed a commission called the Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission to explore the possibility of annexing portions of Illinois into Indiana to turn Indiana into kind of like a boot shape. And now they have already appointed people to it, apparently, or there's a bill that would appoint people to it. Pritzker has said he has no interest in this whatsoever. It's not going to happen. Some of the people that live on the eastern side of Illinois are maybe one. They've been talking about forming a new state. There's been no official mention of them going to join Indiana. But, of course, like Madison County, that's on the west side of the state, they want to join Missouri. So you could have Missouri and Indiana carving up southern Illinois between them and turning that into a completely different state. It can happen under the Constitution. It did happen before with West Virginia. Also, Maine. I didn't know Maine was originally part of Massachusetts. Anybody else? Anybody in the room? I didn't know that. So anyway, you learn stuff all the time. J.B. Pritzker says it's a stunt. It's not going to happen. He says, I'll just say Indiana's a low-wage state that doesn't protect workers, a state that does not provide health care for people when they're in need. And so I don't think it's attractive for anybody in Illinois where wages are higher, where the standard of living is higher, and we do provide health care for people in need. It's very nice of him to decide what all the downstate rural Republicans who have voted to secede from the state really want from their state government. Way to impose, Mr. Tyrant. I cannot stand J.B. Pritzker in case it doesn't come through. He may run for president, by the way, next time around. So this is going to get worse before it gets better. But yeah, I don't know that anything's going to come of it. By the way, a county is a subdivided unit of the state. Like, the state creates counties. So it's not that counties really have the power to do this on their own. I mean, theoretically, the governor can A, ignore, or B, like, if the legislature doesn't agree under the Constitution, the legislature has to give them permission to do it. But it is interesting. Oh, somebody says 102 counties. Yeah, so about a third. Thank you so much for that. About a third of them have now voted to break away And probably nothing comes of it, but it is interesting. Their selling point, so much of the money in the state, it comes out of Cook County, Chicago, because that's where all the wealth is for the most part. Their argument is, you guys should want to be by yourself. Take care of yourself and not have to worry about us anymore. We'll say this. In Illinois, the roads are always under repair. Always under repair. I mean, they're generally in good condition, so it's not Louisiana. Okay, but they are always under repair, and there are... I think the ratio of state cops to residents in Illinois is like 3-1. I think there are about 3, you know, Illinois state police for every 1 resident, because they really police speed limits. It's like Gulf Breeze.
Local news every hour.